bearing his own cross to what is called the place of the skull, in Hebrew, Golgotha. They crucified him there between two others, one on either side. Pilate wrote a notice and had it put on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." And he wrote it in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin because the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city, and it would be seen and read by many people. The chief priests complained to Pilate. Now, how did Jesus end up like this? It was only a few days ago that he had come into Jerusalem. He was greeted with joy, and now he exits in tragedy. But he had warned his disciples that it would be this way. On the first day of the week, a great crowd of people who had come to Jerusalem for the Passover feast heard that Jesus was coming. And they gathered palm branches and went out to meet him. And they shouted joyfully, everyone. Jesus rode in, sitting on a young donkey, as it was written in Scripture. Fear not, O people of Zion, your ruler comes to you sitting on a donkey's colt. At the time, the disciples didn't understand all of this, but after Jesus was glorified, they recalled that the people had done to him precisely what had been written about him. Those who were there when Jesus called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead wouldn't stop spreading the word about him. A crowd gathered and they went out to meet Jesus because they had heard he had performed this miraculous sign. And the Pharisees began to conspire. Among those who had come up to worship at the Passover festival were some Greeks. They approached Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and made this request.
Please, we would like to see Jesus.
Philip told Andrew, and together they went to tell Jesus. And Jesus responded. Holy words for holy people.
Thanks be to God.
Well, welcome to Holy Week. Palm Sunday begins our remembrance of the last week of Jesus' earthly life. He came into Jerusalem with a parade. And he left in a tomb. It was an eventful week. It was a busy week. And the story, if we strip away the layer of piety that we always seem to read the Bible with, we will recognize that this story goes from comedy to tragedy. But it begins kind of funny. The Palm Story Sunday is a joke. It's a parody of a military parade. Your image of a big, fancy military parade shows what? The conquering general riding in through the front gates of the city, being confetti and flowers on a war horse. Jesus enters the rear gate of the city, not on a war horse, but a donkey. The bigwigs aren't there throwing flowers at him. The poor folks are there using whatever foliage they could find, palm leaves. And they're shouting Hosanna, greeting him as their king. And when they do that, they are rejecting Caesar as their king. They are rejecting Pilate as their governor. They're saying, they're not in charge of my life. You are. But this is a funny picture. Riding on the back of a donkey. One of my favorite stories is the story of the African-American pastor who stood up in front of the congregation and said, imagine the Palm story, the Palm Sunday story from the perspective of the donkey. The donkey marches into this parade and thinks all this shouting and all of this applause and all of this party is for him. And fails to realize that it's all for the one he's carrying on his back. In fact, there was one pastor who used that story at an annual conference, preaching to a room full of preachers. Started with that same story. And then he said, I think the problem is in our churches, we've got too many pastors acting like jack donkeys. Believing that the applause and the good things happening in your churches are because of you. But it's because of the one you carry. And if we focus on the one we carry and less on ourselves, we and our churches would be better off. It's a great sermon. It's one of those sermons that you could stand up, say that much, close the Bible, and sit down. You're done. That was enough. That was enough to feed the congregation for a couple of weeks. Are we carrying Jesus into our city? Are we willing to be the donkey? Are we willing to be the mule? Carrying Jesus into the city. Because we live in a city, it's not exactly easy to carry Jesus into. There are a lot of people who are not only not open to anything resembling religion, they're hostile toward it. We live in a city full of people who are actually hostile toward any form of religion or religious activity or anything that kind of has that label to it. How do you carry Jesus into a city that is a relatively hostile mission field? Maybe we need to think like the donkey. Because the donkey didn't think about that. The donkey just knew he had a job to do. That's it. I just have a job to do. And whether they recognize this guy as the king or not, not my problem. That's for him to do. That's for Jesus to do. Churches get wrapped up in this idea that we have to start an evangelism program, we have to do this, we have to grow the church, we have to bring Jesus to the whole wide world, and if we don't succeed at all of this, then we are a big failure. And that is a problematic way of thinking. The donkey didn't know anything more than to simply be faithful to the process. Be faithful to the process. Be faithful to the job, to the task that you are burdened with, and no more. This church can no more fix the city of Seattle than that donkey could redeem us. And as a pastor who preaches an incarnational theology that we recognize the Christ in each other, and our job as the church is to be the body of Christ in the world, sometimes we set our sights a little high. I could never fully embody Jesus Christ. But I can carry Christ with me. You could never fully embody Jesus Christ, but you can carry Christ with you. You see, as United Methodists, there's a joke about us. We tend to call the Presbyterians and the Calvinists the frozen chosen because they have a firm belief in predestination. You know what they call us? The do more, try harder crowd. That's the good old Methodist way. Do more, try harder, and we preach more sanctification than we do justification. We preach more how to get better than Jesus did this for us. And God loves us, and there ain't a doggone thing we can do about it. We need a little more of that. We need a little more of you are loved, and there ain't nothing you can do about it. And a little less of here's what you got to do to be a more faithful person, to be a better church, to be a better Christian, to be a better citizen. We do that, we're taking on the wrong burden. We take on the burden of the one who redeemed us. We take on the burden of the one who says, I love you no matter what. The one who loves us in spite of our difficulties, our struggles, our sins, our doubts, our troubles, our faults and our failures. The one who loves us in our brokenness. The one who reaches down into the broken parts, the dark, tangled, difficult parts of our spirits and says, you know what? I love this about you. I love everything about you. You're mine. And I'm yours. Maybe we're just donkeys. Maybe we're just called to be the donkeys who carry the one who did all the heavy lifting for us. Unfortunately, you get a group of pastors together, and they will tell you that the folks in the congregation aren't really donkeys, they're stubborn mules. And we can be, every one of us. And I am as guilty as anyone in the pews or anyone in the pulpit. I will never point out a sin without pointing it right back at myself, because that's just who I am. But maybe, just maybe, we are tasked this morning on the day of a festive parade and a recognition of the foreshadowing of tragedy that comes later in the week, to recognize that we're not in control of much of this. And that Jesus has got this, because Jesus has got you. Prayer, confession, repentance, all of that sounds so heavy. But it shouldn't be hard work. It should be joyous work. It should be joyous work. And why should it be joyous? Because God's taken care of it. Because Jesus has taken care of it. Because you are loved all the way down to the dark and tangled and broken parts of your spirit and your soul. Grace is more powerful than anything we could muster up ourselves. Grace is more powerful than evil. Grace is more powerful than governments. Grace is more powerful than any individual leader or ruler. Grace is more powerful than anything we could harness. Rules and laws keep everything in order, but grace makes the world go around. That is worth a parade. And that is worth being the donkey who just carries Jesus into this city and lets Jesus do his thing. The story, from comedy to tragedy, has a third movement. All good things come in threes. And all good stories, all the good movies, all the good books, all the really good stories are redemption stories, aren't they? The best story are the ones where somebody has screwed things up or failed epically and finds redemption. Is the Jesus story for us that kind of story? Comedy, tragedy, redemption, Easter is coming. Amen.